Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I have my dear friend, Dr. Dawn Sturz, who is going to tell us all about all the cool stuff that he has in mind and planned and ready for you guys at the 150th anniversary of Westminster Kennel Club. So. All right, you guys, as a breeder, you're passionate about setting up each puppy for success, whether that's in the ring or at home. While puppies can be vulnerable to unexpected accidents and illnesses, you can help ensure that they have access to high-quality care when they need it with Trupanion, medical insurance for pets. Trupanion created their breeder support program with responsible breeders in mind, so you're able to send each litter home with a special offer for immediate pet medical insurance coverage. When your buyers take advantage of this offer, their puppy receives coverage against whatever life may throw their way, from an upset tummy to a broken leg and everything in between. Trupanion can help. As a member of Trupanion's free breeder support program, you'll also receive access to more special perks, including comprehensive litter health insights, educational resources to share with your buyers, and more. So sign up today at trupanion.com/puredogtalk. Trupanion is underwritten in Canada by Accelerant Insurance Company of Canada, or GPIC Insurance Company, and in the United States by American Pet Insurance Company, or ZPIC Insurance Company.
That's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Laura. Well, we always enjoy our chats. We always have a good time.
We have a great time. And you know you have anytime. Just call me up. Say, let's do it.
Sounds good. Sounds
all right.
Good.
So tell me about it. Tell me about, this is a big, big one.
It's a big one. I mean, this is, you know, when I came on board, everything was geared towards this moment. All of the planning and decision making as far as getting back into New York City, getting back to Madison Square Garden, really was all in the service of the 150th, you know, that it had to be home for its 150th show. And so, you know, it's been a long path. And so it's really exciting. You know, we're only months away. And to start off, last year, we all, you know, on the team kind of looked at this return to New York City, going into a new venue, the Javits Center, coming back to Madison Square Garden, you know, with new teams of people and spaces and so on. We really kind of viewed that as a dress rehearsal. And we were very open to it being like a learning experience. And I think what happened was it actually ended up being opening night. It was like, it just all went so well, you know, and not that there weren't places where we confused it, but it just went so well. And it was so well received. And it was so magical and so wonderful. It's like, on the one hand, great. And on the other hand, like, oh, no, now what do we do? Right? Like, how do you top that?
I mean, Javits really was, I mean, I've been there, like most people, through all the iterations, right? And Javits really was pretty cool. I mean, you could actually breathe. There was there was space, there was room. Yeah. It was amazing.
You know, you're in the middle of New York City and yet you're in this amazing venue. And they were so wonderful to work with. They were excited to have us. And then after the show, they were so thrilled with how the event went, you know, that they actually committed to future years, which never happens with Javits. So that's good news for all of us is, you know, we're home for a while now, which is great. And so we looked at the Javits experience and took feedback from people during the day. And some feedback is definitely something that you can act upon. And then some feedback, there's nothing you can do, right? Like, Javits should put in a freight elevator between these two. Like, that's, you know, like, what? You're right, but not happening, right? So, but one of the things that we took to heart was we were very conservative about how we used the spaces, right? We have three halls because we weren't sure how it was going to fit. We undersold tickets for spectators, right? Because on purpose, you know, we were sold out every day because we decided to do that, to just mm-hmm. give ourselves and everyone else the opportunity to take it for a test drive, right, so to speak. And so, you know, we looked at the space and we're like, okay, in some ways, I mean, we really didn't change the benching area at all. That is staying exactly the same. People were very happy with the width of the aisles and all that. So, because we did get people say, well, you know, you've got so much space here, you could have more dogs. And we're like, no, not really. Because if we have more dogs, this benching area gets a lot more tight and takes us back to the days when you and I would be at Madison Square Garden, right? And you couldn't
carrying the clumber over my head. Come on, man.
So
just go there in your mind for a second.
So that's, I think, something that we're like, no, we're pretty set on that is the number of dogs mm-hmm. that fit in the benching area in the configuration of the way we do it to give space and make it comfortable and breathable and so on. One of the things that we did do was to make sure this year that we have all of the X pens that we intended to have. Last year we were short. And so we were very clear in working with our partner at MBF saying, okay, this is how many we want and this is where we want them and so on. So that was a learning. We added another sink. We had put in two sinks in the benching area, which was really appreciated by everyone. Right. And so we've added a third one. We're like, okay, well, if two is good, three will be better.
Most times, yes.
Yes. And then we looked at, you know, the rings will be exactly the same. I think people loved the size of the rings.
Yes.
I think they loved the layout of the rings, the ready rings, and so on. That will all continue to be as it was. The only change there is that we're increasing seating. We're putting in more chairs and bleachers
around. That would be great.
So that will be something that people will see that will look somewhat different, and that will change a bit the configuration, right, of the walking around the rings because we're going to take up more space with seats and bleachers. But I think that's something people will appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
And then from just an aesthetics point of view, you know, you've all seen the, you know, the 150 logo, which is our celebration logo. You know? So you'll see, I think, a bit more celebratory branding throughout the halls and so on. And then going into the Marketplace Hall, Hall 1A, which is where the Westminster merch store is, where people can get things just like the fabulous merch that you're wearing today.
I wore it on purpose.
I see it. That hall is probably the one where we put the most effort into, in that, one, there was so much more space there than what we thought we had. And so we've brought in more vendors. We've
brought in more sponsors. I was just going to say, more vendors. You had so much room for more vendors.
So this was all calculated. It was like, okay, yes, we can do more. And so we're doing that. And we're trying to have more activations in that room to engage spectators. There's going to be a historical immersive installation in there, which will kind of take you through the history of Westminster and all the moments. It'll be really, really beautiful, I think. And I think with this addition of sponsors and vendors and activations and engagement and photo ops and, you know, that sort of thing, we're kind of just taking it to another level around that. So, you know, I don't want to go into too many details because I want people to be surprised and delighted. That's the phrase we use.
It's the deal. You got to break a little bit of news on Pure Dog Talk. Like, it's a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think people will be excited to go and explore that space this year. And I'll leave it at that. But everything else is remaining the same because it worked, you know, as far as the unloading and the process and both the back end from the loading dock and the front end where the shuttle buses drop off. We will have the shuttle buses running again from the New York hotel. And we're putting out the exhibitor video. We'll go out again in December. And then we just shot a new Best of Breed winner video because that process is changing slightly with regards to last year. The Best of Breed winners filled out a card and took it to the superintendent and got their MSG wristbands credentials. This year, it's going to be different. Again, a learning and working with MSG team. We're going to handle that. Westminster will have our own Best of Breed table outside the superintendent's office. So the card will be the same and you'll fill out the information, but you'll go to this desk. Someone will be there to take that information, input it into a live doc that'll be shared with MSG. And you will get your credentials at the ramp at MSG because there was a lot of confusion for people, you know, as far as like who had the wristband. And so we're really encouraging people to come as your team, come together because you're all going to get your wristbands together. So that's a little different. And so this video will explain all of that. And the other thing would be just highlighting those two digital tickets, right? There's four credentials to get into the benching area at MSG, one for a handler of the dog, one for somebody to assist the handler in the ready ring area, and then two credentials for people to kind of hang out with you in the benching area, you know, for those hours.
Right.
And then two digital tickets for reserve seating in the arena, which was really intended to be those two people who were hanging in the bench area would use those two tickets to go sit.
Right.
Some people didn't do that, which is fine. But just know that there's only two. If you need more than that, you're going to have to buy them separately. But again,
if
the video,
your team is so big.
Yes. Yeah. Plan ahead. Plan ahead. So that's, you know, that's in place. As far as the logistics and so on, that's all going to be in place. We are looking to do some special things in the evening at MSG each night.
Do tell.
Well,
as much as you can. I see that little face right there.
Well, I think one of the things that's very exciting is that last year we had two group trophies be retired, the Pouch Group Trophy and the St. Hubert Giralder Hound Group Trophy, right? So Westminster, you know, looked at that. I'm redonating the Pouch Cove Trophy. Mm-hmm. So Westminster will present that working group trophy as the Pouch Cove Trophy as it was, but it's a brand new trophy.
Right.
And then the Hound Group, which was the St. Hubert Giralda Trophy, will now be the Vin Melka Trophy. And
that's the one I'm like, oh.
Yeah. That's to the generosity of one of our members, Tommy Milliner, and his wife, Mary Jean. And Westminster is thrilled that they stepped up to do that because we were very committed to honoring Mrs. Trotter and her Westminster legacy and her successes. You know, having won the Hound Group 11 times, it seemed like the perfect breeder owner handler to immortalize.
She is immortal. So I'm just saying. Yeah.
So that's something that we'll be making very special that evening. And then something else that, you know, people may have heard murmurings about, we're working on putting together, and we're pretty far along, so I think this is, it's a done deal, is we wanted to come up with something to do Monday night that would encourage people to come Monday night. Everybody wants to come Tuesday night, right? Because it's best. So one of the things that we thought we might do Monday night is to create a Legends presentation and bringing back some of the fan favorites from over the years of dogs that won Best in Shows, Reserve Best in Shows, or Groups. And I'm not going to get into who, but I think people will be really excited to see these dogs. And I think the public will be really happy and excited and thrilled. Right. And so we're hoping that's something that'll motivate people to come Monday night. Like if they were not thinking that there was something there for them, this should be, I think, a big draw. We're also looking at how we fill our break times, because I think people forget sometimes, right? There's a TV broadcast, a live broadcast coming on. So when there's breaks on the floor in the arena, we want to try to fill that as best we can. So people are having a good time and are engaged and entertained. And so that we've actively been looking at, you know, we meet every other week on that planning, you know, and it's tight because you only have just so much time between each commercial break or each broadcast break. But we're working on that to make that in-arena experience a little bit more energized, a little bit more heightened during the breaks. So that's something for people to look forward to. Our sponsors, as always, our presenting sponsors, Purina Pro Plan, and we're thrilled to be in this with them. And we have Field Turf returning as our official turf provider for Westminster.
That seems like that's going well.
It's gone really well, and they've been wonderful partners. Cosequin returns, you know, with their joint supplements as a sponsor of the event. We have a new sponsor who's come on board. You may know Aurora, the heated vests, the outerwear company.
Oh, yes.
They've come on as a sponsor, and one of the things that they're offering amongst all the other things they're doing in their activation, they're actually going to have a store on site, but they're offering for each Best of Breed winner $150 gift card to go shopping at Aurora.
Yeah. Wait, is it too late for me to enter? Because I'm just saying. Can I still get my entries in?
Yes, you can. You can. Entries close November 21st. So you're still.
Chop, peeps. Somebody find me a dog.
Yeah, so we're really leaning into this 150 theme. So Best of Breed winners, $150 gift card presented by Aurora. So that's really, really cool. And then we've got a number of other things that are going to be new for us as far as sponsor relationships and activations that, you know, we'll talk more about as we get closer to the show. But even along those lines, we're constantly thinking of how do we make it more of a party? How do we make it more engaging? How do we make it something even more special? So that's what we've been doing.
Hang tight, guys. got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Hey, you guys, does your dog have itchy, like sensitive skin? If so, think about trying the new ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews. This supplement is specially made to support dogs' skin health, including conditions like sensitive skin and seasonal allergies. ProPlan Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews feature collagen, EPA and DHA, vitamin E and zinc to support the dog's skin health. Omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids help maintain the natural skin protective barrier. Vitamin E provides antioxidant support, while zinc offers immune support. So look for the National Animal Supplement Council quality seal on the package that certifies that skincare soft chews meet the highest quality and compliance standards for pet supplements. They also taste great and are easy to add to your dog's daily feeding routine. ProPlan's Veterinary Supplements Skincare Soft Chews are available via the My Purina app or by visiting purina.com/mypurinaapp, where you earn points on every purchase. You can also buy it online at Chewy and Amazon and in stores at Petco.
One of the things that I'm really excited about as well is we've been working on a commemorative book. And if you remember, you know, there was a book that was done for the 125th anniversary, which is basically kind of the go-to reference book on Westminster history that, you know, Bill Stifel wrote. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't even want to try to do that. It stands on its own. Yeah. So the direction we went was more rather than a reference book, you know, with tremendous amount of editorial content, mm-hmm. we went completely the opposite direction and tried to create a pictorial journey of Westminster's history and the Westminster experience and all the different aspects to Westminster. And so it's really a really beautiful book that will be, I think we're actually going to be putting it on sale through our holiday guide, but it will be at the show as well. You'll be able to buy it online, but it'll also be at the show itself. And it's so beautiful. I mean, we were putting final touches on it this morning, looking at proofs and so on. And even being so actively involved with it, and I know every inch of it, every time I look at it, I get teary, I get goosebumps, I smile. It's like, it's just the team did such a beautiful job with that. You know, Allison Younger is our director of communications, yeah. and she really spearheaded this. And Michael Josephs, our COO, you know, was like really in the trenches mm-hmm. as far as, you know, going through the thousands and thousands and thousands
of
photos.
So many thousands. Yeah.
You know, I got to sit there like Miranda Priestly and Devil Wears Prada and go, yes, no, no, yes.
Okay, this sounds like such the perfect job for you. I'm sorry, not like totally. Yeah. I want that for you. I think that is fantastic.
It was very that.
Oh my God.
It turned out to be quite beautiful. I mean, it started out, it was only supposed to be a commemorative program. And it, over time, we were working with this great group in the UK, TLC, and it just over time, like, became a book, you know, right. And it's so, right. That's what it is. So it's beautiful. Right. And so that's something to look forward to. And yeah, and we, you know, working on the holiday gift guide, that's going to be coming out with some really cool stuff in it. And
you've got the agility again on.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So Saturday, yeah. let's talk about yeah. Canine Celebration is on Saturday, January 31st during the day at Javits. So we have our 12th annual Masters Agility Championship, which, you know, is always exciting. And then the finals will be broadcast live. They will be 4:30 to 7 on Saturday. So okay. any of you want to catch that aspect, that's mm-hmm. a Saturday early evening event. And then in addition, we're bringing back the flyball tournament. That was a huge, huge hit. Spectators loved it. And
we're
coming back. You know, it's exciting. I don't know if you remember, I actually got to run a dog in it. They were like, do you want to try? I'm like, of course I want to try. And so I got to run one of the dogs on one of the teams. So that was
was that the bull terrier of yours that you ran or something else?
No, this was the dog who was there to train me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. If I remember correctly, his name was Cal, and he just was this like wonderful veteran dog who like just knew what he was doing and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of knew the guy holding onto the leash had no clue and, you know, just took care of it. So it was good. But super exciting, super fun. So we have them coming back, which we're thrilled. It was funny, they far exceeded their limit. There are 15 teams of four dogs each, and they actually, and the entry overdrew by much more than that.
Flyball is like, that's a super, like, I know all kinds of people that are doing flyball stuff, and it is a big, like, people love it.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal, and it's fun, and it's fast, and it's high energy. And and so for spectators, it's great because they understand it. They know exactly what's happening and why. And then they, I think it's something they can see their own dog doing, you know? And so that's part of, you know, like with, you know, agility as well. I think it's fun, right? You're always looking for people to bring them into the sport. And very often it's those kinds of activities that will hook somebody. And then they end up at a dog show and see confirmation, go like, oh yeah, I want to try that too. So we love that from an entertainment point of view, but also an educational point of view. We'll have our demonstration ring that will have a variety of different presentations throughout the day on lots of different activities, herding, and we're hoping that the police department will come with their canine unit to do a demonstration of the kind of work that they do and scent work and all that. We're going to have a beautiful obedience demonstration. And the Dog Show 101, of course, you know, it's like, what's the judge doing in the ring, right? So I think I was able to rope Michael Faulkner into doing that again. He did a really nice job last year. So if you're watching, Michael, you're doing that again.
Michael.
But that's really helpful for people because it gives them an idea of then what they're looking at when they come to the Dog Show Monday, Tuesday, you know, what the judge is doing. That leads into something else we're going to have in the marketplace. It's like, there are a million things going on. And it's like, they just start falling out of my head.
Keep poking you. I figure eventually they'll all fall right out.
They'll all come out on Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday during the day at Javits. We're going to have what we're referring to as the sensation stage. And last year, we kind of dipped our toe in this concept of, we had Dr. Diggs, our resident veterinarian, was present. And he did a pause and pointers, kind of an ask the vet, just casual people in the crowd asking the vet questions, right? And it was a big hit. So we're really leaning into that. And so we've actually created a staging area. And so he will be one of the speakers. But on each of those days throughout the day, we're scheduling things like, you know, veterinary speaking, trainers about how to train your dog, you know, representatives from different sponsors. And we'll probably do, you know, something like, you know, what's the judge thinking kind of thing, you know, in some way. And possibly some meet and greets from some of the legends that are coming. So the sensation stage will definitely be, I think, a destination for a lot of people, you know, throughout those days. Yeah. So just a lot of that concept of how do we elevate it? How do we make it a party? How do we make it special and really memorable and make it stand out from all other Westminster events. And so I think I've given you a feel.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we all have these conversations throughout the sport, even at regular old dog shows, not Westminster. You know what I'm saying? Like, going to a dog show for a lot of people is like watching paint dry. So how do you get people to come to the dog show? How do we encourage? And so this is all of these things, right? That's a big deal.
Yeah. How to engage, how to educate. Yeah. We looked at that space much like a fan experience. And we actually brought in an experiential group that does, you know, fan activations for NFL, NBA, and so on. We really leaned into this concept. And then I think the other side of it is that's a big part of what the benching area is that opportunity for our spectators, our New York City community to come in and meet dogs of different breeds and talk to breeders and the people who live with them and the people who are exhibiting. They're seeing the very best, right? The level of quality of animal that they're going to meet and engage with are the very, very best. It's the cream of the crop. And therefore, the individuals who are there with them, right, are some of our, you know, most successful breeders and exhibitors. And so I think it's a wonderful educational opportunity. And that is a pet peeve of mine in that I do think that's one of the responsibilities of any dog club that puts on a dog show is to remember that one of their main responsibilities is to serve as an educational resource and a connection for their community to the dog world and with what dogs are all about. And when we see so many events going so far astray from their communities, and I understand it, you know, venues are hard to come by and so on.
Well, you lived it, right?
Yeah. I did. And it's, you know, as much as part of it's, you know, Westminster story, we're Madison Square Garden, it's New York City, it's the magic. But there's also this responsibility part that I think is important for us as an institution that has education as part of its mission, that we attend to that. And I think that this event and the kinds of things that, you know, I've just been sharing with you and talking with you about, I think is evidence of us committing to that, you know, like really leaning into that.
One of the things that I kind of miss from back in the olden days is when people decorated their benches. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we need to have a push, like, you know, who's got the coolest decorated bench or something, because that draws people also. And yeah. I think people take a lot of pride in that, in kind of showing off their breeding program or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember back in the day, people would like, you know, have signs and photo albums. All kinds of decorations. Yeah.
I remember taking a photo album of my entire, you know, my breeding program.
I love that. I hope now that we've returned to being in New York City and a venue that allows us to do benching, because I think part of that, Laura, is we have so many people that had never been to a bench show, have never exhibited dogs at a bench show, right? And so they weren't even sure what to expect or how to navigate it. We get those questions still. And I love that idea. I think people should definitely own their space and embrace their space and use it as an opportunity to celebrate their dogs, celebrate their breeding.
It's your teeny tiny little billboard for your breeding program. Wow. Use it wisely, man. There's your Pure Dog Talk challenge, y'all.
I love that.
Little throwdown. Just a little throwdown for everybody. Okay, let's see what else. I had a couple quick questions. Your host hotels and all that are pretty much the same.
Yeah, so the New York Hotel remains the host hotel this year. And it's central, right? It's, you know, smack in between MSG and Javits. Like I said, we will have the shuttle buses running from the corner of 8th Avenue and 34th Street right outside the New Yorker. Just remember, dogs first. So if you're waiting online and there's somebody who walks up with a dog, they go first.
Always.
Those will be running, you know, throughout each of the days as they did last year. That seemed to work really well and go very smoothly. And then, of course, if the weather's nice, it's actually kind of a pleasant walk from the New Yorker to the Javits.
I did it one day. It was a long walk, but it was good.
You know, probably because I live in the city, I'm used to walking everywhere, so it didn't faze me. But it is it's a good 15-minute walk.
Yeah, it's manageable. I mean, but if I can do it, anybody can do it, y'all.
Going right down 8th Avenue, you're not going to get lost. Let's just say that.
No, you run smack into it.
Yeah, and so that's in place. And of course, I think everybody loves the TikTok diner at the New Yorker. You know, one of the big perks for me. I just found out. And Westminster doesn't have anything to do with this, but the New Yorker is going to provide exercise areas again. They did that last
year. Fantastic.
And that was not something we weren't sure if that was happening, because again, that's not, Westminster has no say over that. And so I hope people appreciate that, because when you think about it, you know, all the shows you go to and all the traveling, how many hotels provide exercise areas?
And I know one year they had a bathing area down there.
Yes, exactly.
It was incredible.
Yes. And so we're very grateful that they think in those terms and that they're willing to staff that and make that happen. And so I hope people are, you know, appreciative of it are respectful, you know, of the space.
Yeah. 100%. And for those of you who are coming for the first time, do not make the mistake I did with my Clumber Spaniel. Oh, I'll just take him for a walk down to Central Park, except for that I didn't understand the part that he was going to come back black on the bottom.
Yep.
So trust me, that bathing area comes in really handy, and bring an outfit.
Yeah, that's New York City sidewalks.
You know, I'm not from there. I'm just offering up pro tips for those of us who come country bumpkins stumbling into the city. Bring an outfit.
I'm trying to think of what else would be helpful for people to know. I think, like I said, the exhibitor video will go out probably sometime in December, you know, once the entries are closed.
Juniors.
Okay, so obviously, you know, we have our junior finals again, and that's always something that is so exciting and fun, and you know, we grew up in it, so we get it and appreciate it. And we're actually right now working on putting together yet again a nice swag bag for our juniors, and so that they have some goodies to take home with them. And that's something I think we'll continue to always do, is just to, you know, have them have something that makes it special, some things to remember us by, kind of thing. So
cool.
months.
Awesome.
And you know, the scheduling of juniors, we try to, you know, make that something that accommodates everybody. You know, I hate, you know, when I hear like, oh, a junior is having to run from a breed ring or, you know, make choices and stuff. Right. It really shouldn't have to happen at Westminster. So we try really hard to avoid that as best we can. And there's always that option, you know, if a junior does find that happening, you know, they should go to the superintendent and ask to be put in a different group. That can always be approached, and the superintendent should attempt to accommodate that as best as possible.
So. Good advice, y'all. All right. Well, Dawn, I know we're going to have you come back in January for a live at 5. So everybody that didn't get a question answered today, send me an email and we will have Dawn back and he will answer all of our last minute questions in January.
That sounds great. I look forward to it, Lauren. Thank you so much for having this chat.
Always happy to have you. All right, you guys, I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.